we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
There was a prompting on my heart to encourage someone to keep going. And I want you to listen to this carefully because I don't know who this is to encourage someone to keep going. Don't quit. It's not over. You are not finished. God sees you. God is with you. God is for you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. You are deeply loved by us, and you are deeply loved by the Lord. That's the most important. Jesus loves you the best. So if you are thinking, I've gone too far, I just can't go another step, this word's for you. Take it, hold on to it, and see what God will do with that. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That song. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Coming to Christ is going to mean dying to self. Oh, fun. In fact, somebody this morning said that very word. Oh, fun. Dying to self. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Dying to self. Dying to your own glory. Dying to your own agenda. And being willing to come before God with open hands. Nothing I hold on to. We come to God with open hands. Nothing I'm holding on to. Just opening up those hands and entrusting everything to Him, knowing that He's trustworthy and He's worthy of all sacrifice. That is a quote by James Coates in Canada, the one we've been praying for. And He is worthy. God is worthy. Jesus is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to have our worship. He is the worthy one. And we give our lives to Him. We give Him all of ourselves. Obedience matters to God. Obedience matters to God. Obedience keeps God's word. Obedience keeps God's word. Obedience honors God's name. Obedience leads into God's will. Obedience leads into God's will. Obedience imitates God's Son. Obedience imitates God's Son. Jesus, out of obedience, went to the cross and gave His life that we might have eternal life. Out of obedience. Obedience advances God's kingdom. Obedience matters. I do not like the O word. I want to do what I want to do. But God says, obedience matters. Obedience to God matters. And you know what? Just ask the Assyrians, if only you could. Ask the Assyrians. They would tell you that obedience to God matters. This chapter 3 is about the fact that there was disobedience to God. There was a turning back, a turning away from God, turning their backs upon God, turning their backs on the things that they knew to be truth. And that's what we will cover today. And so, and it shows that the Assyrians were going to reap what they had sown. The evil that they did would come upon them and show the fate of this who have turned their backs on God. This is the fate of someone who has turned their back on God. And so, Lord Jesus, as we look into your word today, Father, as we look into this last chapter in the book of Nahum, Lord, we look at it with anticipation of what you will show us, what we will learn from it, Lord, and what we will learn not to do, and what we will learn what to do. And Lord, give us the strength to walk in obedience to your name, to your direction, Lord, to walk in obedience to you. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So open up your Bibles if you don't have them opened up already. We're just going to read through Nahum chapter 3. And it starts out and it says, "Woe to the bloody city, it is full, all full of lies and robbery. Its victims never departs. The noise of a whip and the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of clattering chariots, horsemen charge with bright sword and glittering spear. There's a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses." What did they find when they did find Nineveh? When they finally found Nineveh outside of one of the, right inside one of the gates was, they were 16 skeletons that were stacked on one another. That was a fulfillment of this. Corpses that were stacked up, that you stumble over them. There were so many of them. "Because of the multitude of harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries." Why would this come upon them? Because they had turned their backs on God. We know that already. We've already learned that in Nahum. They had turned their backs on God. And here they are. They're finding themselves with what they have sown was also what they would reap. Verse 5, "Behold, I am against you, says the Lord." And oh, that the Lord would never say that to any of us, that he is against us. That he is against us. Oh, Lord, that we would always be looking to you to get your approval, to find out what you have to say to us. Lord, that we would never find ourselves in that place. It says, "I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your wickedness, your nakedness, and the kingdoms your shame. I am against you, says the Lord. I will show your nakedness. I will show you for who you are. I will show all your weaknesses. I will show all of your weaknesses. I will expose everything that you have carefully kept hidden. I will expose everything that you have carefully kept hidden." And that's all the people will see, because they will see your nakedness. You have lost your identity. The Assyrians had lost their identity. They had lost their identity in Christ. They had lost their identity in God. As believers, what had happened before was now gone. They had lost their identity, and their skirt was up over their face, and all that was seen of them was their nakedness. All that was seen of them was their wickedness. All that was seen of them was their weakness. All that was seen of them for everyone to see. "I'm going to show your nakedness to everyone, everywhere." Everyone, everywhere, we are seeing their nakedness right now as we read this book, but it didn't have to be that way. What happens when we sin? 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God has that in control. And so in verse 6, the consequences of showing your nakedness will make you a spectacle. I will cast abominable filth upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle for everybody to see. You will really stand out that way as your weaknesses are being shown, as everything about you is being shown, everything that you've ever hidden is being out there for everyone to see. And it's even written down so that people a long, long time after you're gone, we'll see what happens to a person who turns their back on God. Verse 7, "It shall come to pass that all who look upon you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Where shall I seek comforters for you?" Oh, that we would just, are you better than Noamon? Noamon, also known as Thebes. It's asking them, do you think that you are better than this guy, than these guys? Hey, you guys, do you think you're better than these guys? Do you think you're better than Thebes? Do you think you're better than Noamon? Let's take a look at Noamon. That was, Noamon was situated by the river, so were they, that had the waters around her, so did they, whose ramparts was the sea, so did Nineveh. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, as it was with them. It was boundless. Put and Lubin were your helpers, yet she was carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. They cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. You also will be drunk. You will be hidden. You will no longer be seen. You also will seek refuge from the enemy, and you will not find it. All of these things that are written here are all things that the Assyrians had done to other people, other nations, other groups of people. And now it's coming on them, even to their children. We hadn't talked earlier about that being a case of with the Assyrians and what they did to the children. That all happened with the Assyrians, and now they are reaping what they have sown. All your strongholds, verse 12, are fig trees with ripened figs. If they are shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. In Revelation 6, 12, and 13, you can see that indicates if it's just very much touched. I don't know if you've ever seen a fig tree with very ripe fruit. It just, you can do that to it, and all of the fruit will fall when it's that ripe, when it's ready for to be eaten. When it's ready for to be eaten. I like that phrase. When it's ready to be eaten, when it's ripened to the point that it falls off the tree, and he said, you are at that place. You are ripe for judgment. You are ripe for judgment. Surely your people in your midst are women. Now, okay, the day that we live in right now, let's get offended. Let's just get offended. Let's get it out. Go ahead, be offended. Get it out. The truth of the matter is, men are stronger than women. Men are stronger than women. You can say it any way you want, but they are still, that's still the case. And it has been proven. That's why we do have separated men and women's sports. Because men are stronger than women. It just is that way. When you see the guy that decided that he wanted to run on the women's track team, and he was very obviously a guy. His whole build was a guy. And yes, he won. But you know what? He got on the women's team. Why? Because he couldn't win on the men's team. And so he decided, go into the women's team. I can win there. Any of you listen to or watch PragerU? On Prager University, one of the things that someone said, just because you call yourself a university doesn't make you a university. And they said, true, let's try that with, gender. Let's just try that with gender. Just because you say you are something does not make it so. Just like me calling myself a university doesn't make me a university. Yes, that's true. Men are different from women. They're stronger. The WWA fighter, or MMA, mixed martial arts, decided that he wanted, I want to say queen for a day, but that's not what I mean. And he got in the ring with a woman in the women's team. and he completely crushed her eye socket. You see, because he got there not because he wanted to be a winner, but because he wanted to beat up someone who was weaker than him, and he knew it. They're saying right here, yeah, this is the world we're living in right now. And I'll probably, yeah, never mind. Moving right along. So, your people in your midst are women. You are showing your weakness. You are not men. You are not strong. You are being weak. The gates of your land are wide open for your enemies. They were broken down by what? We've talked about this already. By what? By the waters, by the hand of God that broke down the walls that let people in. Fire shall devour the bars of your gates. And interesting thing about that is all of the gates, when they discovered Nineveh, all of the gates had been burned just like it says here. So this is truth. This happened. This, we can believe the word of God. Verse 14, draw your water for the siege. Fortify your strongholds. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. Make more bricks. Make more walls. Go ahead. Build a wall behind the wall, behind the wall, behind the wall, and you still will not be protected, it says here. The fire will devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will eat you up like a locust. Make yourself many like the locusts. Make yourself many like the swarming locusts. You have multiplied your merchants more than the stars of the heavens. The locusts plunder and flies away. Your commanders, this is an interesting thing. Your commanders are like swarming locusts, and your generals are like great hot grasshoppers. This is what they do. They camp in the hedges on a cold day. Oh, I'm so chilly. I'd better hide here. In case somebody might see me, I'll just tuck in this little bush right here because it's so cold I can't bear it. They ran from the fight. When the sun rises, they flee away. When the heat comes, they're gone. These are the leaders, if you will, the generals, the commanders. And the place where they are is not known, just like the locusts. They come in, they devour, and they disappear. We're going to skip over verse 18 and go to 19. Your injury has no healing. There is no forgiveness. Your injury has no healing. Your wound is severe. There is no forgiveness. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? There will be no one to mourn you, no one to look after you, no one to be worried about the fact that this has happened to you. And why has it all happened? Let's go back up to verse 18, which is the key verse of the entire book, I think. In verse 18, it says, your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles rest in the dust or in the dirt. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and no one gathers them. The leaders, you, the leaders, did nothing. So this is the next to the last book. No, this is the next to the last verse in the book of Nahum. As God, through Nahum the prophet, is proclaiming judgment on Nineveh as the capital city of Assyria, and God's made it clear all throughout this book that his judgment is coming upon them because of sin. There was no question. It's because of sin that judgment comes. It's because of sin. And the reason that I linger here on verse 18 is because of the way God speaks about and to the leaders of Assyria. This verse is specifically addressed to King Assyria of Assyria. Your shepherds are asleep, O king of Assyria. So it was definitely to the king, the leader. So what's he saying? What he's saying is basically to the king. He's saying, you're missing this. You could lead your people to repentance. You, the leader, could have led your people to repentance like you did, or like the king did in Jonah, when Jonah came in. You could have led the people into repentance, but you're not. And all the people you've entrusted to lead your people, your shepherds, what are they doing? They're sleeping, not paying any attention. They're asleep. Your nobles, the important people, the leaders are resting. In the middle of the chaos, they are resting in the dirt. They are resting in the mud. They are resting in the place where they don't belong. In other words, those with power and authority, even when you think about Romans 13, how God has instituted government for the good of people, so those who God has divinely placed in positions of authority for the good of people are using their authority for evil, to lead the people into sickness, judgment, and death. This is where the leaders of Nineveh, the Assyrian leaders, this is where they were leading the people. Sickness, judgment, and death. The people are scattered on the mountains, Nahum says, with no one to gather them, none to point them to that which is good, none to point them to repentance, to turn to God, just like we saw happen in the book of Jonah. No one to direct them to do it because the leaders are asleep. The leaders are wallowing in the mud. It's not happening here because of the leaders. The repentance is not happening here in this book because of the leaders. So you think about this picture and then think about the clear commands we have in the New Testament to pray for kings, to pray for leaders in high positions because of the authority that they have to lead people in ways that are good and right and honoring God. And so I just want to lead us tonight in some prayer. Prayer for leaders in the world, not just our country, but the world right now, that God would ultimately bring salvation to them, that they would humble their hearts before God, that they would fear God, that they would lead people for good in light of the fear of God, to lead people in ways that are good and right and just, and that open the door for the spread of the gospel. We need leaders who will open the door for the spread of the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news. It is the good news that Jesus Christ is our salvation, that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, that we might have eternal life. 1 Timothy makes it clear, pray for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified. This is good. It's pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is good. It's pleasing in the sight of the Lord, our Savior. So as we pray for the spread of the gospel in our country and in other countries, we have to pray for kings and all who are in high positions. So let's pray now. So we pray for the kings, the prime ministers, and the presidents of all countries. And if you can think of any of those names, just speak those names softly now, of the Trudeau in Canada. No other name comes to my mind, but some are coming to your minds right now. Leaders of other countries, Putin in Russia, and North Korean, all of those leaders. As we pray for these leaders, We intercede on their behalf, and we pray that you would bring them to fear you truly. God, we pray that you would bring them to know you, to know the gospel, to trust in you, to look to you. God, we pray for your saving grace in each of these leaders' lives, and that you would give them wisdom to lead people well in ways that are good and right and just. God, we pray that you would keep them from evil and wickedness. You would keep them to lead, you would help them to lead the people you've entrusted to their care. God, we pray for our own President Biden and Vice President Harris. God, we pray for him and other world leaders. God, we pray that you would draw them to fear you, to trust in you, to look to you, and to lead in a way that reflects your goodness, in a way that reflects your justice. God, we pray for your salvation in world leaders, and we pray for your wisdom in world leaders, knowing that the people they lead will be affected by their leadership. And we count it a privilege and a responsibility to obey 1 Timothy 2 in light of Nahum chapter 3, verse 18, to pray for leaders in high positions. And we pray that you would help us to be faithful to do this in our lives for leaders in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Our verse for this entire study through Nahum has been Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Last week, I talked about a little bit about the mark of the beast, and there are some people who don't know what that is, some people who do. Peter, when he was here on Sunday, spoke of the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. I personally believe that the rapture of the church will come before that. However, I bring this up because what if something happens to us and it's like the mark of the beast? It looks like, oh no, I'm still here and this is happening. Will we still have faith in God, even though it doesn't turn out the way that we expected it to go? I want us to be ready. I want us to be prepared. I want us to stand strong and to be confident in the ways of the Lord to deal with the things of this world, so that when these hard things come, we know whom we have believed. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So as we walk through this life today, I'm prompted to remind you of another thing. And I'll just put it in the first person, really. Everyone in my life will have a last day with me. Everybody in my life will have a last day with me, and I don't know when that day is going to be. What I say matters. And what I do matters. We've prayed for world leaders today, and that matters. Make it count. And so next week, we just break from that, and we move on to, and next week, what are we going to do? Mull over that we've just talked about. Write it down. Think about it. Continue to pray. Write down the names of the leaders of the other countries and pray for them in that way that the Lord would direct them. So next week you're going to be meeting offsite. I don't know about tickets, but anyway, I just love you guys so much. I really do. But you know, Jesus loves you the best. He loves you more than I could ever even imagine. Because sometimes people just annoy us, don't they? Mm-hmm. But no, I was trying to look over everybody's heads. No. I am so proud of you ladies. I am so proud of the way that you have stayed in this study that was hard. That you didn't give up when maybe you didn't know the answers or you just didn't understand anything about it. But you persevered and you continued on. So I hope, my hope is that after next week when you have your little time away, that you come back. Because we've got those 2 weeks of some really great teaching that's going to happen. And we're going to have a great time together. And I don't want you to miss out on it. Because you've got plenty of time during the summer to meet in small groups anytime you want to. So, but keep doing great things for God. Okay? God bless you guys. And Lord, as we just get into our small groups, we pray that you would be right in the midst of those small groups, Lord, and that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, that you, Lord, would get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go, standing up.